not talking about cleaning out the well. We've talked about the sources of shame, the sources of bitterness, the sources of rebellion. We've talked about not just going and trying to pick the fruit off the tree and deal with the problem, but getting down to the source, getting down to the root. And one of the ways you deal with things that wound your life is you've got to clean out the well.
Yes,
to clean out the conduits of your spirit. And that's what true holiness stands and begins. It's when God can get down on the inside of your heart and get your attitude straight and get your spirit right and start flowing through you as a clean vessel. False holiness is void of any intimacy with God. False holiness will walk according to many rules and regulations, but has no relationship with God. But true holiness is a hunger to be more like Him. A desire, a thirst to have a vessel that's clean, that His Spirit can flow through you to touch others. True holiness recognizes the free gift of righteousness that we receive through the power of the blood of Calvary. And true holiness will work daily to protect and keep the conduits of the spiritual life free and clean, that His love and power might flow through. The Bible tells us in Genesis 26 in the NIV version, so all the wells His father's servants had dug in the time of His father Abraham, the Philistines stopped them up, filling them with earth. And there's so many things that can stop up your well of prayer, your well of giving, your well of faith. I can preach to you the Word of God, but you're the only one that can get the junk out. Can reach down and take out the stones of anger and the stones of disappointment, the stones of, well, I got treated this way and this happened to me, so I'll never trust again, or so I'll never give again. But you got to reach down and clean those stones out so God can flow through you with pure, unadulterated love. The Bible says, Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. God promised to give us a new heart. Now this is powerful, my friend. Because when you get the stones of anger and bitterness, you know, I've talked to people that said, you know, as he was teaching about bitterness, about shame that had been transferred to your life because maybe someone made fun of you growing up, maybe someone talked about your race, or talked about the way you talked, or the way you looked, or read it. I remember when I was only 9 years old, someone poked fun at me and said I had bug eyes. And my eyes poked out of my head like a bug. And I remember when I went with such a complex. And I would never walk around. I try to always face people. I don't want them to see my bug eyes. It was very real to me as a young man. Because someone, and let me tell you something, kids can be cruel. Kids can say the meanest things. And they can cut. And I know people that can go their lives living with those voices of shame that say you're a failure, you're a nobody. Maybe a parent that put no virtue in them but constantly beat you down with words of anger and discouragement. God wants to deliver you from that. And heal you from it.
Praise God.
I remember in a time we was ministering when a precious friend of ours, Celia Sagusti, came and weeping in the service and said, Brother Arcovio, I can remember as a little girl, because she was a Chinese American, that everyone would blow up and make fun of her for her slanty eyes, she called it. And how much she'd go home and she would cry. And she felt shame. I'm telling you, God wants to deliver from shame. God wants to deliver. How? Not by turning over a new leaf. Wherever it is that's wounded you, whether it was an act of sin of your past or a mistake or something you thought you wanted to do but you missed the mark, forget it. You haven't missed God. You're right where you need to be in God. You haven't missed anything. Quit beating yourself down. Quit berating yourself. Quit saying, if I could have, or if I could have finished that school, if I could have done this, let God deliver you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. creature. Old things are passed away and all things become new. I'm not talking about God just coming and giving you a tune-up or a refurbish. God gives you a new heart. You're a new man. You're not the man you used to be. That's why you can't identify with your past. That's when you identify with your past, you constantly go back to failure. Identify with Jesus. Identify with His blood. Don't talk about where God brought me from. Talk about where I'm going in the Holy Ghost. Where I'm going in the power of God. I'm a new creature. Oh, come on, somebody, praise Him. Old things are passed away. That you put off concerning the former conversation. The old man. The old man always likes to talk. He likes to come up all the time. Show up at the most inopportune moments. Amen. Tell him I'm busy. Which is corrupt to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Every now and then our mind needs to be washed with the water of the Word. Because we get negative. We go down the path of poor me. And oh, if. And oh, poor. And we get all caught up in the molly grubs of just discouragement. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And you put on the new man. Everybody say new man. New man. Turn next to you and say, I'm a new model.
I'm a new model.
Hallelujah. I've been poking at my precious wife. And she knows I love her. And she's been just... At times, she just kind of hobbles around the house. She can hardly make it because of her situation that God's going to heal in her back. Hallelujah. And the other day, I went up and I hugged her. I said, honey, do I just need to get a new model? Well, she knows I was just kidding. Hallelujah. I love her. She can be crippled or whatever. She's my honey. Hallelujah. But it's not a new model. It's a new man. Praise God. Which after God is created in righteousness. Everybody say righteousness.
Righteousness.
Righteousness being the free gift God gave us from Calvary. I didn't do anything to deserve that. And then true holiness. If it's going to be true holiness, it's going to be false holiness. Hallelujah. I want true holiness. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. You see, the works of darkness have got to be neutralized in our life. Otherwise, all this healing teaching, all this stuff is absolutely negated. If we still got the works of darkness working in our life. The Bible says in 1 John 3 and 5, you know He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. When I get in Jesus, I don't have to worry about sin creeping up on me. Oh, come on, preacher. Everybody sins a little bit each day. You better be careful with that, my friend. Hallelujah. They who are in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Hallelujah. Every day we strive. The second you say, oh, you got to sin a little bit each day, you throw in the towel, you're in trouble, my friend. You need to get up in the morning. Hallelujah. And kind of like Brother Gleason said in our meeting yesterday, he talked about a good attitude. I remember having a good attitude. You walk around with two buckets, a bucket of water and a bucket of gas. And if there's problems in the church and you walk up, you're going to put water on it, or you're going to put gas on it. Hallelujah. What are you going to do? And he said, there's an old African-American preacher. He said, how would you have such a great attitude every day? He said, I get up every morning. Now, I may not quote this just right, but he says, I put my two size 12s on the floor and I say it's going to be a bad day in hell today. Oh, come on, somebody. Quit letting hell get you. I started to say give hell something, but give hell heaven. Hallelujah. Holy Ghost is helping me. Hallelujah. Give hell heaven. Get up and say it's going to be a bad day in hell today. Because I'm going to serve God. I'm going to say no to the devil. I'm going to say no to sin. I'm going to lift him up. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Don't sit back and say, oh, I don't want to go to work. There's those big bad people there that cuss and all the bad things. Get up and say, look out, work, here I come. Look out, sin, I'm going to stay in the eyeball. Hallelujah. Come on, put your hands together and praise Him. Now, those of you that think you got to sin a little bit each day, let me give you a scripture. 1 John 3:8 is just for you. Pow! Right between your eyeballs. He that commits sin is of the devil. Woo! That's strong language. Yeah, that's Bible though. Let me tell you why. This book will get you to heaven. This book will heal your marriage. This book, you can find the answer to your family problems, to your drug problems, to your alcohol problems, to your pornography problems. You can find it right here if you open the Word and live by it. He that commits sin is of the devil. For the devil sins in the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifest. Why? That He might destroy the works of the devil. Don't just say, well, that's just the way I am. I tried to quit smoking, but you know what? I guess that's just my habit. You know, friend, then you might as well forget it, because the devil's got you hogtied. Hallelujah. Get up and say, devil, one of these days I'm kicking this thing. Devil, you ain't keeping me forever. Hallelujah. One of these days I'm going to get so powerful in Jesus. This cigarette smoke won't have any hold on me. This alcohol bottle won't have any hold on me. Hallelujah. That dance hall won't call my name. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We are overcomers through the power of the blood of Jesus. Don't just give in. Keep fighting. Roll your sleeves up and try again. Hallelujah. Sometimes God prunes us so we can produce. That's right. And sad to say, as much as I try to pastor the best I can, sometimes God prunes the church. And I don't like it when that happens. Hallelujah. Sometimes I have to back off and say, God, just have your way. Do your will. Hallelujah. Because I'd like to just grab everybody and keep everybody. Hallelujah. And nail you down to your pew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about chasing people off. Some people use that prune, Brother Darwin, to just hurt people with it, you know. But we must put off the old man so we can put on the new. John 15:1-2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me. There's things in me that are keeping me. I can't point at you, my old peasant, and say, it's your fault I'm not brought. Or, you, honey, you're my problem I'm not bearing. You know why my ministry's going anywhere. Oh, come on, somebody. Getting kind of nervous in here, a little hot. Woo, turn those fans on. It's in me. Those things in me, God's got to prune. I don't like it when God says, come here, Brother Arcovio. Click, and have the big shears out. Come here. I got to take care of some things here. Oh, God, not that. Lord, please. That's keeping me. Do you want to be fruitful?
Right.
Well, yeah, okay. Let me cut those things out of your life. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes it so it'll be even more fruitful.
God doesn't love me no more. He took this. You know what? Sometimes God lets you lose your job to save your soul.
Oh, hello, somebody. Some God lets that car get wrecked. You wonder why you come out of a scratch. Because He's trying to reach you. Hello, somebody. Cutting some things out of your life. Come on now. Talking about things you can't explain, but you can't deny. You know God was in it. Say what you want and run and fuss and fight, but you know what? God's coming along. And if you really want to be fruitful, you're going to feel the cut of His shears now and then. You're going to feel God coming and taking some things out of your life. Let Him! Because I promise you the fruit you bear will be far more beautiful, far more precious than any crazy thing this life has to offer. I'll lift your hands and say, God, prune me. Prune my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Next slide. You can't put on till you put off. Once you put off, then put on. But put you on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. Every day you get up and go to work, put on Jesus. How do I put on Jesus? You can put Him on in prayer. Hallelujah. We got a nice dressing room right over there. Hallelujah. You can step in there in the morning and put on Jesus before you go to work. Hallelujah. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust. That's why there's things we don't do and places we don't go. Don't make provision for your flesh. Walk into the big old John Theater and plop down on that seat amongst a bunch of people cussing and smoking and this big screen going on showing a bunch of junk. You're feeding your flesh. Come on, somebody. Don't make provision. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision. That word put means to sink into a garment. You got to immerse yourself in Jesus. Oh, come on, someone. Getting kind of quiet here. I hope I didn't hit someone going to theaters. Help me, Lord. Come on now. Do I got to preach a while on that? Or you all, oh, come on, somebody. Pardon versus justification. Pardon, everyone say pardon, is forgiveness. To simply be released from paying a penalty. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The word pardon in the original is kalash, which means to forgive, to pardon. Webster's dictionary explains pardon in this manner: to release from further punishment of crime, to forgive. To give up resentment against the desire to punish. To stop being angry with. To cancel or remit a debt. Next slide. But justification means the record's been erased. Now this is going to get powerful tonight, so hang on. Or diakos, which means acquittal. Justification allows God to look at my life and see nothing but His own righteousness, His innocence, His purity, regardless of what's happened in my past. All too often we try to work to be righteous. Righteousness is not doing right. Righteousness, when we put on His robe of righteousness, we recognize what Calvary did for us in the blood, and we wear His innocence. Oh, on that day when Adam and Eve reached out and God said, don't eat the tree. Commandment said, don't do it. Satan said, did God say that? Because they didn't know what God said, that's when they got in trouble. Because Eve says, yeah, God said, don't eat it or touch it. God didn't say don't touch it. You can't add, you better know what God said. You better know your Bible. And they broke commandment and took of the fruit. Immediately the devil came with condemnation. And they run. And I won't do my fig leaf impersonation tonight. But they run. Maybe I will. Let's see here. Here we go. I'm sorry, Sister Judy. Please forgive me. I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe this will release you to get some more. They run and get some fig leaves. And they're running around. Trying to cover themselves with fig leaves. Why? Because they messed up. Why were they trying to cut? The devil was condemning them. They were naked, but they had no shame because they were in righteousness with God. When they broke commandment, the devil was loose in their life to condemn them. And he beat them down. They tried to go and cover their wrong. And God says, where you at, Adam? Adam says, I hid. I hid from you because I knew you'd be angry. I knew I broke commandment. Now here's the devil. He knows God. He was third, actually in equal power in the kingdom of God. He was one of three archangels. He was Lucifer, son of morning. You had Gabriel, you had Michael, you had Lucifer. He was third in power in the kingdom of God. He knew God because he knew he messed up one day. Everyone's kids, you know, you spank them, they're like, oh, no, he did it too, spank him. Yeah, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. My kids sit and listen, and
You didn't spank him as hard as you spanked me. Yeah. I want equal punishment here. The devil was still smarting for being kicked out of heaven because he messed up. So here's Adam and Eve trying to cover themselves. And the devil's coming up and he says, okay, God, they messed up, now kill them. You did it, you kicked me out, God, now kill them. Get them. God says, you know what? Yeah, he failed. Devil, I can't argue with you. He failed, he failed, he failed, he messed up. Look at him. Yeah, he failed. But he's my son. He said, put aside your fig leaf. And he went and slew an animal. The first blood sacrifice. And he covered them with the skins. Signifying there's going to come a day that my blood would do this work. The devil will point at you and say, he's got to die. He messed up. He blew it. And God says, you know what? Your facts are right, devil, but you're forgetting something. I came. My innocence can cover. My innocence. And the devil looks at you. He wants you to think he sees your failures. He'll try to remind you of your past. But all he really sees is the blood. All he sees is the innocence. All he sees is the justification. And justification is just as if it didn't happen. Quit living in the past. Quit talking about where I came. Quit driving yourself thinking I've got to somehow make up for lost time. When you became born again, you arrived. You stepped into the anointing of God. And you're right where God needs you. Oh, come on and praise Him. When we take away our fig leaf, when we put on His robes of righteousness, then we wear His innocence. Whew. Righteousness leads me to holiness, which is the process of obeying His leading and cleansing my life. When I'm clothed with righteousness, Isaiah 61 and 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. Turn to your neighbor and say, I like your threads. Hallelujah. When I step in the prayer room with an Arbuckle, and I can cry and snot dripping out of my nose, and talking to Jesus, and getting everything right, I can walk out and I'm putting on the dog. Hallelujah. I'm strutting the stuff. I'm clothed with righteousness. Maybe this morning I slipped and kicked the cat, and God forgive me for what I said when I kicked the cat. But hallelujah, I go in the prayer room and I have a little talk with Jesus. He says, it's all right, my son. Here, take my robe. Take my robe. And I can walk out of there. You know what? I'm a child of God. Devil, shut your mouth. I don't want to hear your condemnation no longer. I am righteous because He's righteous. Oh, come on, somebody. He's covered me with the robe of righteousness as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments. This ain't no cheap salvation, my friend. A great price went into these clothes. He decks me. He decks himself with ornaments as a bride adorneth herself. Adam and Eve's sin cost them their innocence. See, this is the truth. Sin takes innocence from you. But God slew an innocent animal to cover their nakedness, and Satan could no longer accuse. When we choose to live immersed, not in our own self-righteousness, because I'm righteous because I don't, and I don't, and I... How do you know you're saved? Don't you ever answer someone who says, how do you know you're saved? Well, because I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't... Hey, my friend, that ain't why you're saved. You're saved because of the blood of Jesus. You're saved because Calvary. You're saved because blood washed your... the sign of sin off your life. Oh, come on, somebody. There's no righteous. No, not one. God, He can't accuse you. See, all God sees. The devil can come and say, God, He messed up. And God said, what are you talking about? All I see is the blood.
The devil slinks off because he knows he lost that battle a long time ago. Hallelujah. Clothed is righteousness. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Say justifies. I love the word justify because it means just as if it never happened. Who shall lay anything to the charge? That word charge means bring into account. Who shall accuse? Who's calling into question? If you walk around thinking you're all high and mighty because you go to church and you got this and you got, then the devil can wipe you out. But you get immersed in His righteousness. You get under His blood. Some walk away from true holiness because they see the inconsistencies of those who walk in separation through rules and regulation, but not from relationship and righteousness by faith. And when people walk in separation simply through rules and regulations, then they have these little loopholes. Loopholes for those that make a lot of money. Hello, somebody. Loopholes for when they're on vacation. Oh, come on, help me out here tonight. Hallelujah. But don't walk away from true holiness because someone's living a hypocritical life. Find the spirit of true holiness, and that's being clothed with His righteousness. See, the natural mind struggles with this truth. The Bible says God made him who had no sin to be a sin offering for us, that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus took my place so I could take His place. Oh, let that sink in. Hallelujah. You cannot imagine. See, our minds don't understand because we remember. I remember when I fornicated. I remember when I lied. I remember when I smoked. I remember. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. God can transform it. Hallelujah. You see, we have a hard time imagining or understanding how God can say we're innocent. But the Bible says the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. It's spiritual, my friend. When you say, God, I'm sorry, He forgives you. When you go down in the blood, He justifies you. It's gone. It's forever gone. The slate has been wiped clean. The man, Christ Jesus, has already proven righteousness. How? He ascended into heaven and stood in the presence of the Holy God. If His righteousness were not sufficient, He would have been destroyed. Sin cannot. The only way I'm going to be able to stand before God, because the Bible says that sin cannot be in His presence. The only way I can stand before God is not because I went to church twice in a week and three times on Sunday and said 30 Hail Marys and prayed my tithes and vacuumed the floor. And that might help. This is the back in the fore part. No, I'm just kidding. No. The only way I can abide in the presence of God's holiness and purity is if His righteousness has covered my life. Not shaking the preacher's hand. Not signing a roll and saying, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Then His righteousness steps in. Before I can be accepted, if I appear before God, I must be clothed with the same righteousness. Hebrews 9:24, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. What He did at Calvary goes before us. If I stepped in the throne room without Calvary, I'd be finished. But as long as the blood's on my life. Hallelujah. Justification removes condemnation. When I accept His free gift of righteousness by faith, then the voices of shame are finally silenced. I'll be free from the effect the devil's accusation had had on me. Psalm says, let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon Thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously. Justification removes condemnation. The Lord has promised that my heritage in Him is confidence in His righteousness and its ability to silence every voice that attempts to bring me under condemnation. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. How? This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. You can go, wow, he paid the price. I don't got to climb a ladder. I don't got to jump through hoops. All I have to do is obey His Word. Obey His presence and Spirit. I'm already righteous through the blood. Hallelujah. I'm no more righteous today. 25 years after I was filled with the Holy Ghost than I was the day I was filled. The day I was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized His name, I received His righteousness. And I was as righteous at that moment as I'll ever be. Ooh, this blows our mind because, like old Darwin said, I got to do something. Just obey Him. Just walk with the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't get all caught up in a bunch of junk in this life. Protect the righteousness He gave you. Amen. Praise God. I want to finish this. I'm kind of losing some of you. Why don't we all stand for a second and just lift our hands to God. Just kind of stretch. Hallelujah. I want to finish. Hallelujah. You can be seated. Now, next slide. Here's the big question. Is it going to be our righteousness or His? I've traveled all over America. I've seen the long-faced Missouri mules sitting on the seats. Oh, she like praising Him. I got the joy. Gotta go to church. Gotta pray. I don't pray, Pastor will not let me sing in the choir. I gotta go and pay my tithes or I won't be able to.
Yeah. You know why so many people live with no joy? They're trying to make it through works. Now, I know the Bible says work out your salvation. But my friend, let me tell you something. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. There's not even anything bad enough to make Him love you less. He loves you. We get nervous kind of stuff because you know what? We all think, boy, I got to climb the ladder and I got to do this and I got to do that. God wants to give His people peace and true joy. Living a life of joy in the Holy Ghost. A joyous Christian living. Not a drudgery. How? It's when I choose His righteousness, not my own. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God. Boy, they're zealous. I've seen some real zealous people preach some real zealous messages and walk away and say, boy, I really shucked the corn tonight. But not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about to establish their own righteousness, not being submitted to the righteousness of God. That's why Paul said in Philippians 3:9, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Everyone say faith. I can see some of you, your brains are doing, your gears are going backwards. They're stripping. Because I've been in the church as long as many of you have. I'm telling you, church, if you look at the Word, if you examine the Word of God, you will find that as long as you think that you're saved because of what you do, you're going to be in trouble. We're saved because of the grace and the blood of Jesus. And the free gift of His Spirit. Whatever else I do, whatever else I say,
simply is my response to this free gift of salvation God gave me. You don't get good to get God. You get God and then you get good. Woo, I know this is deep. That's all right. Justification through the blood of Jesus Christ is the process. Everyone say the process. Righteousness is the result. You see, we get people in here and I've had people say that. I've seen people. Now, I'm just going to, pastor, I know we've got visitors. God bless you. If I'm crossing your, I'm sorry. Go home. If your pastor don't believe this, you do what he says. He's right. Hallelujah. But I've seen people get down on the altar and someone's seeking the Holy Ghost. And they'll say, you know what? Get that earring out of that ear. You'll get the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking about the first church of Zimbabwe down. Hallelujah. There's a lot of attitudes that create failure from people from the very, very beginning. Because here you are, climbing every ladder. If I do this, and if I do that, and if you go... You say, that's why I hate steps. You know, take three pills and two steps to the side and turn around and lift your arm and go over here and cock your head and boom, it'll happen for you because that's how it happened for me. And you're taking three steps and going backwards and forward and to the side and hold my arm up and you're trying to keep it all together and you're just, you know, how do I get all this together? And boy, I got to clap my hands like this and I got to wear my shirt like this and I got to, you know, and you're doing all this because, you know, just relax. It's as simple as falling in love with Jesus and living by this word. Because you can't be in love with Jesus and love this word and suddenly something cross your path. I remember old Jeff McKenzie in the church of pastor in California. Jeff came in on a Sunday morning because he had a bad acid trip. At a rock concert down the street from our church. Stepped out of the rock concert and the entire parking lot was on fire. I found him on the front doorstep of my church Sunday morning. Just sort of coming to church, had hair down to his waist. Earrings? Well, I didn't think you could put earrings. And I sent my usher and said, get those earrings out of his ear if it was being in this church. Well, come on, you know better than that. I just love Jeff. I thought of preaching the word. I preached for 4 months, and Jeff would just clap, get in there and worship, and boy, he's so happy. And one morning I preached on the need for baptism in the name of Jesus, for your sins to be justified, for your sins to be taken away. You can say, God, I'm sorry, and He'll forgive you. He'll pardon you, but to be justified, you got to have the blood. Hallelujah. And that night, Jeff come walking through the door with a pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt rolling his arm. And he says, pastor, I'm ready to be baptized. You know what? That's repentance. Repentance is a change in the way you think. Oh, he hasn't cried enough tears yet. Sit him down there and tell him when he's cried 3 teaspoons of tears and then we'll baptize him. Oh, come on, somebody. Help me out now. Got all our inspectors 21 sitting down. And nope, he hasn't repented yet. I hadn't heard that sound yet. I've heard people say that. Certain sound I hear when I know they've repented. Oh, help us, Lord. I baptized him. One day, on Sunday morning, Jeff walks in and he's got a nice man's haircut. And men should have a nice haircut. Come on now. And I said, Jeff, my goodness. Well, I like your haircut. He says, yeah, pastor. I was reading the Word of John yesterday and I came across the scripture that said it's a shame for a man to have long hair. I didn't preach him. I didn't get up there and say, bless God, all rules are. You want to be part of this church, then you got to cut. No, my friend. Why? Because when you're in love with Jesus, He'll talk to you. He'll deal with you. Oh, come on, somebody. And that's the righteousness of God. All right, next one. Next one, you missed it. We got a hunger for righteousness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Righteousness in the original translation here is a condition acceptable to God, innocent and just. We rely on His righteousness to be filled with Him. I know these, my friend, this is, let this just sink in. Don't try to understand it all. Just let it sink in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Revelation 12, verse 10 through 11. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. How do I cast the accuser down? Through the blood of the Lamb, His righteousness, and by the word of our testimony, the holiness I live. Oh, help me out, Jesus. When I submit my life to His righteousness, and I walk in holiness, the devil's cast down. Oh, come on, somebody. Ministering to those who are bound by shame. The Bible says, freely receive, freely give. Now it's time, church, to become conduits of love. To reach out and minister to those. Hallelujah. Verse 22, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Next one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but you are just, and you are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Next one. You hear something? If we could just preach Jesus. You know, we like all the fancy things, and you know, I don't even tell you something. And Brother Brad, you know me enough. I'm not shooting at you. But we get some things and all these fancy charts, and we're not trying to reach the lost. We're trying to impress everybody how smart we are. We're trying to impress our brethren how much we know God's Word. Oh, I you know what? I know it. I don't need you to clap to know it. I've been around too long. I was born at night, but not last night. Hallelujah. And make it so coming to God is not complicated. Preach Jesus. Preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's what this world needs to hear. I saw one guy had this very easy to use Bible study, and it was so complicated I didn't understand it. All these flow charts and things going this way and that way and pointing up and pointing down. This goes to this, and I'm like, huh. That person will never find a way. Just preach Jesus. When you minister to those abound in shame, preach the justification that comes through the faith in Jesus. Next one. Verse 25. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Woo. For God, is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not only the God of the Gentiles too? Next one. Since there is only one God, who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith? Understand, there's a big war going on back here. Whether you be circumcised or uncircumcised for righteousness. Hallelujah. If I go into that, it'll take me 40 minutes. Move on. In fact, Abraham was justified by works. He had somewhat to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Some of you are nodding your head. You're seeing it. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord. You see, until we're in peace with God, as long as you walk around thinking God's still mad at you, So long as you think God still stands over you with a big hammer waiting to slap you down, when you enter into peace with God, peace with each other, peace with yourself, then you can relax. You can be what God wants you to be. Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through all of Jesus Christ. 16, again, the gift of God is not like unto the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one man's sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed as the gift of righteousness, many trespasses, and brought justification. And final scripture, verse 17. For if by the trespass of the one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace as and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man. So, where does this all stand? When we can rest in our spirits and know we're not trying to climb a mountain, doing this, fasting, praying, doing all this because I want to one day be righteous. When we can realize the moment I repented of my sins, was baptized in His name, received His Spirit, at that moment, I became righteous. From then on, all of our striving is not to try to make myself better, but it's to draw closer to Him. Hallelujah. To be more like Him. Because you know what? I can't improve on perfection. Oh, you see, that's our problem. We don't believe that. We say, yeah, I was forgiven, but there's no but to it, my friend. You are perfect through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Then you can start striving to be more like Him. Then you get rid of the junk in your life because you want His power to flow through you in a greater measure, in a greater manner. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, let's stand right now. Oh. I've seen people that crossed every T, dotted every I, did everything a preacher told them to do, but lived joy absent. Lives. And look at me and say, Brother Arcovio, I've been in the church 20 years. Why don't I feel saved? Why do I feel as lost as I was the day I came to God? Because you've not submitted yourself to the righteousness of God. You think somehow you still have to do something to prove to God, to work out your debt. No, my friend. I want you to be released into flying the heights of being used by Him. To realize that He has given you a free gift of righteousness. Let yourself off the hook. Stop trying to pay the price what you did wrong, and realize the moment and the day you said, God, forgive me. He forgave you. He pardoned you. He released you. And the day the blood